Here I am, sitting in such gratitude for another Sunday where we are joining together to strengthen these healing ideas in our minds. So let's begin our call, as we always do, with coming into stillness. I am still as God created me. And let us just drop into gratitude for what we are. What we are is unchanging and unchangeable. We are forever. And any witness that tells us otherwise is simply a lie. And here we are joined together in our shared commitment to remember that, to remember the truth. So offering our willingness to Holy Spirit, in this holy instant we give to you. Be you in charge, for we would follow you, certain that your direction gives us peace. If we need a word, a thought, or a tranquil, open mind, these are the gifts that Holy Spirit gives. And we place Holy Spirit in charge tonight gladly. So taking a nice, deep breath in and out, and coming together to our perception of right here, right now. It's such a refreshing moment to pause with you all, to be willing to step out of time and into eternity. So thank you for joining me. We are picking up where we left off last week. So if you're reading from the Sparkle Edition, we're on page 488. And it's the very, very last sentence on the page. Your brother's body is as little use to you as it is to him. That corresponds to the original edition by Course in Miracles Society. It's there, chapter 20, part 6, paragraph number 41. In FIP, it is chapter 20, part 5, paragraph 5. And in the CE, the Circle of Atonement edition, it's page 647, paragraph number 5. Just a reminder, I'm reading from the Sparkle edition, so if you're following along in another edition, you'll probably most likely encounter some differences in paragraph breaks, maybe some editing. So if it gets too out of sync, you can always just kick back and listen as I read. So we've been in the section Heralds of Eternity, and it's been talking about how we come to know ourselves through the holy relationship. So here we go. Your brother's body is as little use to you as it is to him. When it is used only as the Holy Spirit teaches, it has no function. For minds need not the body to communicate. The sight that sees the body has no use which serves the purpose of a holy relationship. And while you look upon each other thus, the means and the end have not been brought in line. Why should it take so many holy instants to let this be accomplished when one would do? There is but one. The little breath of eternity that runs through time like a golden light is all the same. Nothing before it, nothing afterwards. I love that last sentence. The little breath of eternity that runs through time like a golden light is all the same. Nothing before it, nothing afterwards. So here this paragraph is clearly saying that the body is nothing. It's just under the guidance of the Holy Spirit. It becomes a communication device. But minds need not the body to communicate. That is just such a beautiful idea. And if we think about so many people who still hear the voices of loved ones who've departed, for instance, Nook Sanchez, still, I haven't heard her speak about this recently, but still heard the voice of Tomas, her significant other, her first husband, in, what was that book? The Afterlife of Billy Fingers. Annie still hears the voice of her brother who transitioned. So this is just so reassuring and so comforting that minds need not the body to communicate. We, in our judgments, in our limited perception, lose sight of this so easily because the body is so dense and everything around us that we see with our body's eyes is so convincing that we need this course to help us remember this, learn this once again. It's something that we know, but that we've forgotten. So it goes on to say, the sight that sees the body has no use which serves the purpose of a holy relationship. So I love that. Again, the body is just speaking to its complete neutrality. And while you look upon each other as bodies, the means and the end have not been brought in line. So here again, we're learning to see with a different type of vision, which will help us see the body for what it is, which is the neutral projection that it is, but a communication device while we're here. And this just happens in one holy instant. Anything coming forward for anyone so far?
Corinne?
Yes, Meg.
That to me is so wonderful because it just verifies that we are not this body.
Mm-hmm.
And it says it so beautifully.
It does say it so beautifully. It really does. It's so comforting to me.
And a lot of times when we get caught up in our stories, and it's very easy to get caught up in them and be overwhelmed by them, if somewhere in our brain we can ask the question, who is this happening to? Because it's happening to the body, we're experiencing it through the body, but yet we're only experiencing it through the body because we've become identified with the body.
Right. There's that pesky self-identification with a lowercase s, self. There it is showing up again, the me. Who is this happening to? I like that question. Me. Who is me? We identify me as my body, my personality, and clearly the Course is saying that there's something much more to us than what we can perceive.
When I was reading such lines in the Course, I was kind of, a bit shocked and resistant because, for example, my girlfriend, I came closer to her only because of her body, and now they say to me, her body means nothing, you know. So I think, so I'm thinking, resistance and or misunderstanding or something used to arise in me. But then when I reminded myself, remembered when we lay in bed and I hugged her, give her a hug, and I want to hug her so close, you know, so tight to be, you know, to become one with her, you know. after a minute, it gets disgusting. It gets disgusting, you know, my mouth is full of her hair, you know. I started sweating. It's hard to breathe, you know. And I was just like, no, just stay away just a little bit from me. Let's have a little space, you know. And then another time we were laying, and I watched in, was watching in her eyes, And I was trying to, you know, they say the eyes are the mirror of the soul, and I was looking her to her eyes, and I suddenly realized that if I would look really closely to her eyes, all I would see is just the backside of her eyeball. And it also will be disgusting, right? Blood, you know, this blood pipes, you know, how do you call it? It's also, if you take out this eye from her head, it also will be disgusting, you know? So then I thought, okay, and I realized that I never really saw my girlfriend. All I saw is just a mask, which can get very disgusting if you just you know, distort it slightly. So yeah, then I started looking at these lines in a different side. That yeah, maybe it's not a bad thing that our brothers and our girlfriends are not their bodies. Maybe it's really a good news that there is something more to that. Yeah, and later in this chapter, because you know, some students, they have struggles. They feel guilty for the fact that they perceive others as bodies. Can you imagine how the ego turns it all upside down, right? Very recently, I met a woman who was very shy to show her body, you know, because she thought that we are not bodies, and she was she felt very guilty that she still sees others as bodies. Can you imagine? So the ego can very quickly turn everything upside down. So I want to pronounce it right now that later in this chapter, we will read that our task is not to see our brothers not as bodies. Our task is to see them sinless. It's in section 7, if you want to ever check this out. So we as ever, as always, the course is very practical. It doesn't ask us to do something, you know, alien. It's very practical, so it's not about perceiving our brothers not as something different than bodies. It's just forgive them and try to see them sinlessness, this innocence in them. Thank you.
Igor, number one, you crack me up. Number two, that was so helpful. That was so helpful. I loved everything about what you just said, and you're reminding me. I just had a conversation on video today with Danielle Scruton, who is one of the team members for MiracleShare, and we just relaunched the MiracleShare.org website, and we'll slowly be adding more features and building it up again. And if anybody wants to write blogs for the site, please go to MiracleShare.org, and we'd love to have you submit your writing. Danielle and I just recorded a webinar that we're going to send out that talked about undoing grievances and grudges. And Danielle shared a quote from the course that says, no special relationship, I don't know if I have this exact, but no special relationship is experienced in the present. No special relationship, which is all the ego relationships, no special relationship is experienced in the present. Meaning, what are we seeing when we're looking at somebody's body? We are seeing the past. We're seeing our judgments. We're seeing what we are laying on top of them. We're not seeing them in the present. And I had an actual experience of this way before this webinar of a family member who I struggle with, who I was with, and I had this realization that I never have really seen them. I've never really seen them because I'm always seeing what they did to me in the past, or how they treated so-and-so, or, you know, all the past garbage that I was dragging was how, you know, with what I was seeing them. So when Igor just said that what's coming up is that, you know, we're not asked to not see bodies because as we're identified with them, we're going to see them, but we're learning how to see them sinless. So I'm so glad you added that, Igor, because that's so key. We're learning to see not through the ego's eyes of the past, but through the vision of the Holy Spirit, which is in the present. which enables us to quote-unquote see, not with the body's eyes, but with our hearts, with our minds, with that spiritual eye of the truth about that person, which then reinforces the fact that that truth is in us too. Ah, I love that, Igor. Thank you.
Thank you, Karine.
Let's read another paragraph. Oh, Steve, go ahead.
Well, okay. I was struggling a little bit a few days ago with the idea, this physical body in this world doesn't exist because it doesn't last. But what is this thing, my body? And then somehow I read another source, and it lightened up when I stopped trying. See, I don't want to, I want to try to realize what this book is saying, the Course is saying. I don't want to have to realize anything external out there. I really want to know this thing on the inside for me as an experience. And what came up is that when I just relax and pay attention and slow down and be here, like meditation and just relaxation, then somehow this body lightens up, and it's not that it doesn't exist for me, but that it is a passing phenomenon, just like a sunset. It is beautiful and I can love it, but it's not something I'm trying to go after, this realization with my head. And what happened was I was just able to, relax, let go, and my body did become less solid, so to speak. You know what I mean? Because I don't want to have to lead with my head here with this course.
Right.
I really didn't understand. Yeah.
That's big. And I'm grateful that you shared that, Stephen, because the temptation is to try to understand this intellectually, to try to lead with our heads and get it with our heads. And you are so spot on when you say this is about having the experience. It's about getting it in our hearts. And I love what you described and what you did with just that softening, because when we aren't softening, what are we doing but resisting or striving or, forcing, trying? And it's the softening into the present that enables us to have these experiences. And you reminded me in your description of feeling like the body was, I don't remember your exact words, but a quote from Amy Torres that I love came to mind, and I might even, do I have it right here? She said, I don't have it written down, but she said something to the effect of that her body was thinning away like the heel of a threadbare sock. So we all have those socks, right, that we've had forever, and the heel is just getting thinner and thinner and thinner. That was how she described it, and that's what you just said that reminded me of this, that it is this experience of it feeling like it gets less dense, it's less real to us, because we're having a more real experience now of something else that is very real, that we can put our faith, our trust, everything in. And so it's like that transfer of trust starts to shift from trusting that our body is it and us, and we start transferring that trust instead to something way beyond, to Holy Spirit, to something way beyond the body. So you're on the right track with getting this, with your experience and not letting your head lead. I love that.
Yeah.
One way to kind of get out of the body and do it effortlessly is just be present.
Yeah. The present is where the Holy Spirit is, and like I said with that quote before, the special relationship does not exist in the present. So if we have special relationships, which we all do, we're not actually in the present, so we can practice being in the present. Thank you, Meg.
I also when I was struggling with this, I asked Holy Spirit to reveal to me, you know, the essence of this. And there was this book in this bookcase at this place I was staying this weekend, and it was there was a chapter in it that said, "All that is holy." And so now I even my body, to approach it like that, and rather than just trying to deny the body or to delay a trip, oh, it's not real. But all that is holy. And that's more of an accepting of the body for where I'm at. And then it, you
right.
know, it's kind of like the best way out is right through. That
right.
kind of thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So yeah. It was, I agree.
Yeah.
DJ, can I just quickly share and then you're
yeah,
next?
Yeah, of course.
Okay, great. I have my next podcast episode coming out will be, I'm losing track of dates. I think I just released one, so it's coming out in two more Thursdays. I had a great session, a great talk with John Mark Stroud, who is, I just adore him. And in the whole purpose of the episode was to talk about hearing guidance, because so many people struggle with, you know, how do I hear guidance? How do I know? And one of the points that came up is that we, when we're doing the course with our heads, it's very easy to fall into that trap of, oh, the body isn't real, the body isn't real, we shouldn't even talk about it, we shouldn't, you know, it's meaningless, we shouldn't even go there. And yet what you said so beautifully, Stephen, is that we have to be where we're at. I still wake up every day thinking I'm my body, thinking I'm Corinne, and for me to deny that I'm there is an unhelpful, you know, form of denial. Instead, repurposing what I think is real, which is the body, giving it to Holy Spirit, under Holy Spirit's purposes, it becomes holy. The Course says that everything here, even the tiniest piece of sand, the smallest blade of grass, when seen through the Holy Spirit's eyes, you know, all of the universe, all of truth can be seen there because we're no longer seeing with the body's eyes. So I just wanted to say that this episode with John Mark Stroud is reframing the body rather than being this, like, you know, not useful thing that we just, that isn't real, that Holy Spirit, repurposed under Holy Spirit, we know guidance through our bodies. We sense it in different places. We all sense it in different places in our body. For me, it's kind of like now my heart, chest area, and it expands outward into my arms. He leads us through a meditation. It's just such a good episode. I can't wait to share it. So that's just what I wanted to say about the body and what you shared, Steve, that was helpful. Thank you.
It's like you're having a holy relationship with your own body and the world.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
Beautiful. Deidre.
Well, I feel like you just said everything I was going to say, Corinne. just what you said about spending time denying the body and what is that but offering resistance, right? And as long as we're offering resistance, we can't repurpose anything with Christ vision, with spirit vision, right? So just allowing what is opens us up to seeing as God intends us to see. And there is a line in the Course somewhere, I don't know where it is, but it talks about God honoring all of our creations. So that would include the body. Otherwise, why would the body...
All of our miscreations, yeah.
Right. Why would the body be a communication device then? You know, everything is repurposed for God. So that's always super helpful for me. And I just had a really moving experience with spirit with the transition of my dog. I talked about it really briefly last week, but there were some moments there where I was feeling pretty sad and I was, you know, feeling that the intensity of that emotion and feeling guilty that I wasn't, you know, the course student that was able in the moment to see what was, you know, transpiring with happiness and joy, you know. And when I took this idea of being where I was at to spirit, what I got was this really beautiful message is, you know, allow yourself to be where you're at, because as long as you're resisting, you're keeping whatever whatever it is for you real. So once I was able to sit in my process of feeling whatever emotion was coming up for me, it was like a way of saying, here you go, spirit, here's all my crap, you know, here's all my junk. Here it is. I'm withholding nothing. I feel like crap right now. I feel like shit. You know, here it is. Here it is. Here it is. Here it is. And it opened up this really beautiful experience of vulnerability. And I don't, the heaviness that I was feeling is no longer present with me. And the actual transition itself has taught me a lot about moving through that process with people. And ironically, or not, because there are no accidents, another friend is experiencing a transition right now, and it's allowing me to sort of support my friend in a way that I wouldn't have been able to do had I not just experienced this with my dog. So all that to say, like, everything is divine, and this is not a course in not feeling our feelings. When we deny where we're at, it's just delaying, you know, something for later. It'll come back later. So,
hooray.
Yeah.
That was wonderful.
So helpful, Deidre. Yes, is that Maurice?
Yes, I just wanted to thank you, Deidre. That, oh God, that was so beautiful, the way you put that, and I really resonate with it, because, you know, all the seemingly icky thoughts that come up for me, if I just, you know, ask the Holy Spirit to look on them for me, and I journal about it and do whatever it is I need to do, I end up finding out some wonderful things, you know. I mean, it's too much to go into right now, but it is a tool. It is a teaching tool, and it often guides me. A pain or a bad situation often guides me to one of my biggest jewels, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So thank you so much, Deidre.
So we don't need to be afraid for learning, right? And it reminds me of the quote that Corinne often uses about the Course not asking us to not have judgments. We just don't keep any of them. So as long as we're willing to surrender any of those judgments to our higher self, to our inner teacher, that's all we're asked to do. That's it.
Yeah, and that's beautiful too. Thank you.
Yeah. Thanks for sharing, Maurice.
Thank you. Love you, Deidre.
Love you, too.
Thank you.
And I'm so grateful, Deidre, that you shared, because your experiences with Emily, your dog transitioning, the experiences that you've shared have reinforced my trust as well. So thank you.
And the thing is that I'm communicating with her still. Like, there is no death, you guys. Really and truly, like, she's still giving me messages now, right now, and we just have to be open to that. So, yeah, beautiful.
Can you tell us more? We're listening. Like, come on, more.
Well, when I was feeling my feelings about, because I was really missing the physical part of being like a fur baby mom, for lack of a better term, like, you know, waking up with her every morning and going to sleep with her every night and feeding her and playing with her with her toys. And I was really, for the first few days after her transition, I was really not dealing with that very well. I was, you know, that was the part that was hurting the most. And so I just sat with Emily and I just said, can Emily please help me with this? Like, please understand, please help me understand what our soul contract is together. And so what had happened after her transition is my lamb, the people living upstairs from me right now had sent me some pink roses. And you all know that I'm an angel medium, and I have this deck of cards called flower therapy. And so I asked Emily this question, and I pulled the card from the flower therapy deck called Pink Rose. And I had just been given these pink roses, and I thought, oh, okay, the Spirit's giving me a message here. So I start reading the card, and I had asked the question of her, what was the purpose of our soul contract? And the whole message of the reading was about learning to love myself unconditionally, that I'm beautiful the way that I am, that I don't need to change, and that I have gifts that no one else can offer the way that I can, in the sense that we're all spirit, and that is the truth of us, and we all of the sonship has unique gifts that they are here to offer as part of their soul contract. And the message was so moving that I knew it was true. I knew it was true. And continuing on doing that mediumship reading, she said, you will be a fur baby mom again. And I am with you every morning when you wake up and every night when you go to sleep. And I will be with you as long as you need me, so we cannot be separated. We will not be separated. And I will help you in your mediumship work and everything that you do with the angels, and we will see each other again. And so, and she's been coming to me in dreams and all of these other things, and I've asked her, you know, repeated times to show me butterflies, and then without me even asking, pink roses are showing up now, because she knows that I know pink roses are significant. And so when you start to really trust that this is how spirit operates, and you don't have doubts anymore, these miraculous experiences where you know spirit is talking to you start to happen. So for me, the significance of pink roses means Emily. For somebody else, it might be rainbows. Like Paula's cat and rainbows, you know. So these types of experiences are really natural and normal. And they continue. Like, even today she sent me more butterflies. So, you know,
sweet.
As we open up to this way of communicating, there's different ways of communicating. And the mind wants to come in and say, oh, no, no, you're making this up, you know. Oh, no, this is not real. Oh, no, you don't want to trust this. But it's real, friends. It's real. There's no way that I could have predicted that my landlord would send me pink roses. There's no way that 6 months before my dog transitioned, the vet that I was using, that was specifically recommended to me by my angels and guides. My angels and guides said, go take Emily to this vet. And so I trusted that guidance. This lady became my vet, okay? And then eventually she left the veterinary office that she was working at. I didn't know where she went. I just was like, oh, the next time I took Emily to that specific place, the doctor had left and they told me she no longer worked there. And the day that I took Emily into the vet, when she was experiencing some issues, who should be there but the holistic vet that the angels had chosen for her 6 months ago. So on the day that Emily transitioned, the doctor that the angels had chosen for her was there. Not only
in the emergency clinic.
In the emergency clinic. So,
which is not your usual vet.
Which is not my usual vet. And so what I'm trying to say to you all with this is that this has all happened already. There is no possible way that any of this could have been, you know, orchestrated other than the fact that this is a picture that that has already happened, and we're just reflecting on it exactly the way that the Course says.
Mm-hmm.
Because not only was that vet there that day, okay, so the Course says no one is sent to anyone by accident. That particular vet is so amazing. She, like, putting Emily down would have cost a ton of money. This vet, because she puts the animal first and her work first, only charged us $250.
Wow.
When it could have, you know, cost a lot more. And so, and it was like everything was step by step, taken care of exactly. And so, you know, I kept getting this guidance from Spirit not to take Emily to the vet, And I had, you know, family and stuff worried and telling me I should be taking her. And the reason why I was being told not to take her is because I was waiting for that veterinary to be there. So, like, all the pieces were lined up. And so when we're open to listening to guidance, the way that Corinne is talking about, that's what makes it possible for Spirit to be in charge of everything. It's like you're letting go of control and you're saying, okay, Spirit, I don't need the picture to look like I need it to look. But
yeah.
There is a divine plan already in place, and all I need to do is trust that, and that's it. So I know that was long-winded, but there you go.
No, I'm so glad you shared, Deidre, because I feel like I was hoping that this would come out at some point on the call so everybody could hear from it, because I was so struck, you know, when you were guided over and over to not take her to the vet, and then when it finally came down to her going to the emergency clinic and that your vet,
yeah,
unbeknownst to you, being the,
yeah,
one there working who would not have put her down unless that was what was, you know, the next step, because from what you described to me, that vet follows guidance too. Everything that you shared is just so incredibly comforting and heartwarming and a great reminder for all of us that this what we're doing, this work is real, that,
mm-hmm,
what the Course is teaching us, this is real, this is
and
a way
Emily
out.
Emily has taught me unequivocally that what the Course is saying about no one can quote-unquote die without their consent, meaning the way that we lay the body down is already chosen.
that's what I was trying to talk about last week, and I just didn't really. It's kind of a hard concept to understand, but I have such a sense of it anymore in my life. In other words, if the more we can just forget about the story and trust that this has all happened, it's already happened, and God's will for us is happiness, and the more we trust that, all the outcome becomes somewhat effortless and less dramatic, and God's will.
Thank you, Paula. Thank you, Deidre.
Thank you, everyone.
You know, I feel moved now to just add another, I'll keep this as succinct as I can, but you all know that I've been doing, maybe some of you know, that I've been giving away some of my favorite spiritual books once a month until my book comes out in February. And I've been doing this since March, I think. March, April, May, June, yeah. So there have been four. And each giveaway, sometimes I give away multiple copies of a book or multiple books. And there's a young woman. When I tell you that I am ethical when I do these giveaways, everybody who enters gets a number. I go to randomnumbergenerator.org. I draw the random number and then match it up, you know, to the entry, and then that's who gets the prizes. There's no funny business on my end. And for the third time, so the last giveaway that I just did was a children's spiritual book bundle. One of the winners did not claim her prize. So I gave her extra time, still nothing, even though I repeatedly tried to contact her. So I drew a new number. And the winner, for the third time, is this young woman who I'm connected with on Instagram, who said she never wins anything, and yet this is now her third Course in Miracles-related book that the universe is giving to her. And more so, when I went into New York City to see Emily Bennington and Marianne Williamson speak together, this young woman, unbeknownst to either of us, sat right next to me, like right there. And when she realized it, she like froze and then, you know, said something to me, and we were just blown away that we sat right next to each other and that she at that point had won two sets of books. And the fact that she got this third set after somebody didn't claim their prize, and she said to me, she's like, Corinne, she's like, I cannot tell you how much this is needed right now. Her children just went through some kind of trauma. And she actually did an Instagram post and wrote to me just saying that they keep asking for her to read and listen to this book. What she won is a beautiful children's book and an audio CD called Parable of the Stars, in which my friend John Bevan and his wife, Lainey, John wrote the story, and it's about how we're all stars, and we seek specialness. We want to be shinier than the bunch and find out that when we're doing that, like, our lights start to fade because that's not who we are, and it just basically talks about, like, all of us claiming the light as one and in that just, you know, being radiant. So our children are just eating this story up, and it's absolutely beautiful, and as you were speaking, Deidre, it was just reminding me to appreciate what seems to be a coincidence and is absolutely not, because when I tell you I'm doing these giveaways very ethically and picking, you know, random numbers,
yeah.
It's just uncanny. We are continually blown away. I wrote to her to tell her she won, and my subject was, I cannot believe this. But I should,
not in
we should believe this. Miracles are natural. Miracles are natural. When they do not occur, something has gone wrong. So thank you, Deidre, for sharing that, because it just, again, reinforced my trust.
Yeah. Thank you. I love that.
Mm-hmm. Me too. Me too. Let's read the next paragraph. You look upon each holy instant as a different point in time. It never changes. All that is ever held or will ever hold is here right now. The past takes nothing from it, and the future will add no more. Here, then, is everything. Here is the loveliness of your relationship with means and end in perfect harmony already. Here is the perfect faith that you will one day offer to each other, already offered you. And here the limitless forgiveness you will give each other, already given. The face of Christ you yet will look upon, already seen. I am just laughing. Are we hearing that, Deidre, you just said all this?
Exactly. Exactly. Oh, my God.
This has happened already, and here it is already, and it's done. It's done. We simply have to accept. We simply have to accept.
That's hilarious.
That's pretty amazing.
So here is a beautiful example that we are sharing of these quote-unquote, they're not synchronicities, not coincidences. This is divine reinforcement for this work.
My God.
So good, right? How about let's go ahead and finish off this section. We just have two more paragraphs. Can you evaluate the giver of a gift like this? Would you exchange this gift for any other? This gift returns the laws of God to your remembrance. And merely by remembering them, the laws that held you prisoner to pain and death must be forgotten. This is no gift your brother's body offers you. The veil that hides the gift hides him as well. He is the gift, and yet he knows it not. No more do you. And yet, have faith that he who sees the gift in both of you will offer and receive it for you both. And through his vision will you see it, and through his understanding recognize it and love it as your own. Be comforted and feel the Holy Spirit watching over you in love and perfect confidence in what he sees. He knows the Son of God and shares his Father's certainty the universe rests in his gentle hands, in safety and in peace. Let us consider now what he must learn to share his Father's confidence in him. What is he that the creator of the universe should offer it to him and know it rests in safety? He looks upon himself not as his Father knows him, and yet it is impossible the confidence of God should be misplaced. So I'm hoping if you were just listening to me read, the word he started off with a capital H when it was referring to Holy Spirit, and then it switched to a lowercase h when it was talking about us and our brother. So I'm hoping that if we were following along that we caught on to that there was that little change there. But isn't this so gorgeous? Isn't this absolutely so beautiful that remembering the laws of God makes us forget it empowers us to forget the laws that held us prisoner to pain and death. Those are false. They are false, false, false. And my goodness, Deidre's story tonight and the fact, Deidre, that you said that you still communicate with your doggy, like it just is all so reinforcing.
Yep, she's one of my guides and will be with me forever. And
yay!
And she's leading me to my next fur baby, so it's all good.
Oh, how wonderful.
She also shared with all of us through her journey and you sharing with us.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
we got
a message from her, too.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah.
And Emily's pure love, that's what her name actually means. So, yeah, I'm so happy to share her with all of you because what a better way to honor all of us, right, than to remember the truth together. That's the point of everything.
Yay. Thank God. Oh, thank God we're seeing that now, because what the alternative is no fun. It's those blown up children's toys that we terrify ourselves with, and I think we're finally seeing that.
We don't have to feel bad for being where we're at. And I just want to say thank you to all the people on this call and in this Course Companions group that just let me be where I was at with the whole process of Emily's transition. I cannot tell you, with the support that I received, how much it meant just to have that, and, you know, just the wisdom to know, you know, at that moment in time when I was feeling those intense feelings, nobody said to me, oh, this stuff isn't real. Like, don't,
yeah.
You know, and that would not have helped. So I'm so grateful for all of us to come together the way that we have with Matt and so many of us on this call to join in and remember the truth and support that in each other, because we need each other in this work. We're not doing it alone. We're doing it together as one sonship. So.
Mm-hmm. Amen to that.
Amen.
That feels like a perfect note to end on. I have no more words. I love you all. Thank you so much for showing up. And I echo that gratitude that Deidre just shared. So thank you, everybody, from the bottom of my heart.
Thank you.
Thank you all.
Good night.
Thank you.
I love you all. Have a great night, everyone.
You too.
Good night,
everybody.
Bye-bye.
Bye.